Vernon Wells, one of our favorites, a longtime major league outfielder, of course, with the Toronto Blue Jays and other stops as well. And Vernon Wells is now an ML, Major League Baseball Players Association certified player agent with the GEM agency. Vernon Wells joined Stephen Brunt and myself in writer's block. Vernon, thanks so much for doing this. Long time no speak. I said before, earlier in the show, that all the players I covered, it doesn't surprise me that you would become a player agent because you always seem to have an interest in sort of the business of the game and the business of being a professional athlete. When did you decide, though, to fully make that transition?
Well, first, thanks for having me. It's been a while since we've talked.
Yeah.
Actually, a couple of years ago, I actually took the test, and thankful enough that I got thrust into being our player rep, my first full season in the big league. So I had a full understanding of all of our collective bargaining language and everything that it took to know what the relationship was between the players and the owners. So I didn't have to study for the test. I knew all the answers, went and took it and passed. So at that point, I had my license. I mean, I knew I was able to do what I wanted to do. And for me, there's a certain stigma when it comes to agents. And as over the last couple of years, I've kind of seen that play out in different ways, but I'm attacking it from a different angle. And I think even when I played, I tried to have a relationship with the guys around me, be a sounding board for guys around me and try to help them achieve what they want to achieve. And now I get to do that just in a slightly different way.
Yeah, we'll talk about that different way, Vernon, because I'm intrigued by that. The idea, you know, that I, as you say, you know, your experience. So I'm assuming what you're talking about is that your experience as a player within the game, and maybe your experience as a player rep as well. But how does that separate you from other agents in a practical point of view?
Well, I mean, the simple fact of been there, done that.
Yeah.
If I haven't experienced it, and there's a good chance I've experienced most of what guys are going to go through in that process of even getting from the minor leagues to the big leagues and then being successful and then failing being able to navigate your way through that process. It's not easy. And if I hadn't been through it, I guarantee I've been around guys that have and tried to help them get through it. So it's a valuable thing to have when you have a Greg Ginsky who has negotiated some of the biggest deals in the game. His arbitration cases are something that was actually highlighted in their agent meeting this past week of just the success that he's had. And then you couple that with the experience of what it takes to do it on the field. It made a whole lot of sense for me.
You talk about taking the test. You know, I think people automatically assume that every agent is a lawyer or has some sort of economics background and that you need a law degree to be an agent. You certainly don't need a law degree to be an agent. But what was that test like, Vernon?
It's interesting. When you read over the language of what is our collective bargaining agreement, that's what it pretty much comes down to. I mean, you have to understand the rules when it comes to the draft, the international stuff, and then just know what's going on from the time that you sign a contract to the time that you become a free agent and all the steps that it takes during that process of getting guys to the point where they can make a decision on where they want the rest of their career to end. So that was, like I said before, it was actually Darren Fletcher that actually he didn't give me a choice. His last year was 2002 with us, and he said, you're going to be our representative. Congratulations. I got thrown into that role, but I'm thankful for it.
Democracy is a beautiful thing. You know, it's great. That's the way that it works. Yeah.
Exactly. I will tell you, I covered one Montreal Expos team where the players essentially, I'm not going to say who it was, but told one player that he had to go into Felipe's office to meet. That player went in. They locked the door on him, held a vote in about 4 minutes, and he was the player rep. And that's a true story. Luckily, he turned out to be someone who was who understood the issues. Hey, Vernon. Now that you know, we talk so much about how the game is skewing younger, and there's baseball executives are viewing older players and not even older players, players who are in their mid-30s differently. Does that change the role of the agent from your point of view now?
It does. And with anything, there's always everything evolves. There's always going to be different directions that they go, but it's hard to – it's the hard part is you have – people still have to understand the value of what that player brings. Experience is huge. I'm sure the ownership side of it does not want to give any credit to that. They think you can just kind of go out and play, and numbers, analytics and things like that will speak for themselves. But you have to have a presence in a clubhouse. And I think when you look at who the World Series champs were this year, I think it shines a light that there's a true value to it, and there's there's a need for it.
Yeah. Now, if you know, again, given your experience as a player and as a player rep, and now as an agent, you know, we're talking a lot about, you know, about that collective agreement, and you know the way it is being, you know, the way ownership is using it right now, and where they're choosing to spend their money, and the years of control with young players. You know, do you think we're headed for something there, Vernon? Like, are we headed for the first real labor conflict in a long time in this sport?
Well, when I did take over in 2002, at the end of that year, I was having to tell guys in my first year doing it that we need to be prepared to walk September 1st. And it's always a real possibility, but you look at the amount of money that's being made on both sides. It's amazing. And both sides know it. Are there going to be issues? Yes, there is every 4 years. I mean, that is just the nature of a union and ownership, but I don't think there's too many issues that would cause a work stoppage, because the game is going in a direction where we do not need to have a halt in what's going on, and we can't afford it, because football and basketball are not slowing down. And if you allow them to continue going in that same trajectory, baseball is going to find itself in a bad place.
Yeah, no, look, I agree with you, and that's fully logical. I guess the one thing, you know, sometimes it's not logical, I guess, is what I would say. And you know, and I wonder about, you know, like when we have seen trust, the you know, trust break between the players and the owners in baseball. And look, over collusion, it was, you know, that was a huge breach of trust. You know, and I wonder, that's the one thing I wonder about right now, Vernon, is because, you know, the players see what's happening in free agency for guys, especially guys, you know, late 20s, early 30s. And feel like, you know, we saw what happened, how the Alex Anthopoulos thing blew up. I just get the sense that there's a huge amount of suspicion right now, you know, and it might well be, it may be well founded, and that is what sometimes leads to, you know, people not looking around saying, boy, we both got it good here, let's work things out. I wonder if that underlying, you know, suspicion, distrust, could lead us into something.
Oh, yeah, I guarantee you it's an issue. And it's been an issue in the past, even leading up to this point. It's just now things are playing out a little more, and where it looks like, yes, there is a concerted effort to skew numbers. I think even analytics in some cases, I think, are in place to skew numbers. There's a lot of things working in that direction. But it comes down to who the voices in the room are and what – Where are we going to separate truth and not? And I think the owners are going to have to show that there is not a concerted effort to do that. I mean, obviously, as a player, and you're not going to believe them, but you have to make your way through that noise and come to an agreement that we understand what you're doing, and the owners have to say, We are not going to do that. And obviously it's not that cut and dry, but they have to get to that point, because, like I said, baseball can't stop, because we will lose the great game that we love for 6 to 7 months.
So Vernon, now that you're an agent, do you go out and recruit players? Or I know that the Jim Gregg's agency has already got players under the umbrella. Are you given players you're responsible for? How does that sort of the division of labor work in an agency like that?
Well, different groups have their own way of doing things. Luckily for me, when Greg called me and said he wanted to do this, he allowed me to have relationships with guys across the board. Mm-hmm. In most groups, there's just different silos, and you're not allowed to communicate with another agent that's in your same group. You can't talk to his players.
Right.
And for me, it doesn't make any sense. Like, if we're a group, if we're trying to get the best and get the best out of our guys, communication needs to happen across the board, because there's so many different issues in this game that there needs to be a sounding board regardless of who it is. In my role, yeah, I get to recruit guys. I get to go talk to young families. I get to talk to big league guys. There's different. It's amazing just how things kind of get out from, if there's a frustration when an arbitration case doesn't go well. There's just different things that just make its way through the grapevine. And I'm not the type of person that's going to go try to steal clients, because it's just not right. I understand. I've been there. I've done that. I had guys come up to me when I was playing, and there's a sensitivity to that. And mm-hmm. you want guys to approach you, not the other way around.
What's it, Vernon? How does it feel committing, you know, to a second career? Because it's funny, you know, Jeff and I were kind of, you know, I know there have been ex-players become agents in different sports. A lot of the guys, sometimes guys who went to law school, but you know, there are a lot of guys in professional sports now who make enough money in their first career that they don't have to do this. You know, or certainly don't have to make the kind of commitment you'd have to do to learn and to be good at something. What's it like for you, right? You know, kind of starting out, like, you know, it's not quite rookie ball, but it's different, right?
It is different. And for me, there's a balance, being home and getting to spend the amount of time that I do with my family. The travel part of it is hard for me now. Like if I go see a family or go see a kid or go meet with someone, I'm leaving that morning and coming back that night. And that's just, it's a matter of balancing that part, because I don't want to miss out on anything. I mean, that was one of the reasons why I stopped playing, is because one, my body couldn't do what my mind wanted to do. And then two, try to catch up on the things that I missed. And my kids growing up and being around my wife, and just, I don't think people understand the sacrifice. People see the dollar sign. They don't see the sacrifice that it takes to do what you do at the major league level. And it's a daunting responsibility. So for me now in the second career, thankfully it's in a space that I know. It's in a space that I'm comfortable working in. It's in a space where I can do a lot of things on the phone. And if there's some times where I need to FaceTime, which can seem kind of odd sometimes, talking to another guy on FaceTime, you just have to do it.
Mm-hmm. Vernon, listen, we really appreciate you joining us. Thanks so much. It's good to talk to you again. Good to hear your voice, and best of luck in this endeavor.
I appreciate it. How's the weather up there?
Chilly,
but not, it's
dark.
Yeah. It's chilly and dark. It's November.
I'm sorry, guys. It's 75 degrees right now.
I know. You didn't have to say that, but thank you. You're a good salesman, though. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, bro.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.